This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Cowboy Nation, how the hell are you? And we got a great show here. We got Steve-O to the right of me, I guess that's the right. And we got our man Mike Hartman. He's filling in for Rodney. Rodney's out selling some insurances.
Rodney DeYoung.
And we've got Rich. Rich,
booyah.
Our motivational Bruce Lee.
There we are.
And
hey, now that we got training camp getting on their way, are you going to bring the energy for the next 6 months? Because the last couple months, you've just been kind of monotone Jono.
I have no idea what you're talking
Jono-tone.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I mean, I need you to step up your game.
I think the fans been loving every bit of my stuff.
You know what I did notice is that you had one intern working for us today.
And he gives me all these cards, as you all
can
see.
Look at that. There it is.
Show so, prep.
I told him, though, last time he gave me these cards, he could barely write. They were small writings, man. I couldn't understand anything he wrote. So now they're big.
Is it written in text message format, or is it actually legible words and letters and
big
sentences?
Big letters. Big letters. That's the way I like it.
Well, we better do real good on the show right now because producer Brian just left. I think he's suffering a little bit from the Guns N' Roses concert hangover, and I think he's going to go back and take a nap in some studio. Studio B, maybe.
I bought him a big slab of ribs.
Did you guys go to Pappy's or something before?
You know, he gave me the tickets for last night's show.
I saw those ribs sitting there. Where'd those come from?
I gave it to him.
Would you make them yourself? Where'd you get them from?
I brought it. I brought it in from a restaurant I was at, and I stopped in, bought it, and brought it
Maybe
in,
plug the restaurant. Maybe they're looking to be a sponsor or something, bud.
Let's not go there right
no
now.
Plugging.
Oh, my
God. So,
gosh.
Mike and Steve-O, Jono looks pretty good for going to a concert last night, doesn't he?
Yeah. So,
I tell you what, I've been cutting weight. I've lost 26 pounds. I only had one beer yesterday and one pork steak throughout the entire day. I'm trying to get in shape.
Here's the
We're
deal.
Making a big trip to Dallas, aren't we?
Yeah, but I'm going to have to start calling you pencil finger now instead of sausage finger.
I don't think he's lost any weight in the fingers, but Jono, listeners out there, he's looking pretty good. I'm proud of him.
I'm trying to get in shape here.
Black is very slimming, though. Very slimming.
Well, 26 pounds is slimming, too.
Yeah. Congratulations,
Thank
bud. You look
congrats.
Great. Thank hey, can I introduce a good buddy of mine that's joining the
Please
show?
Do.
We want to interview.
Please do.
Hey, listen.
Tell us.
So I run into this guy when I say I run into him. What was it, Mike? About 1998, we started in the mortgage business together.
Uh-huh.
So, and then as we worked side by side for several years, you know, he's a huge, huge Cowboy fan. Him and I both collect a little autograph and sports memorabilia, and after the show, we're heading up to Chicago for the National Sports Memorabilia Convention. But he's a good buddy of mine, Mike Hartman, longtime Dallas Cowboy fan. What's up, brother?
Oh, thank you for the introduction. I appreciate it. Been a Cowboy fan since the Super Bowl against the Broncos, 77.
If that dates him at all, right?
What made you become a Cowboy fan then, Mike?
America's team. Bought into it back then and still am a big believer. They've had their highs and lows. It's a shame they haven't won a Super Bowl in quite a while, but it looks like this team is actually heading in the right direction finally.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I've tried to get Mike on the show with us in months past, especially when our good buddy, one of the other co-hosts of a show in here, Jim Cromer, does the Blues podcast. Mike's a huge Blues, St. Louis Blues guy,
right.
Huge St. Louis Cardinal guy, baseball. So I've tried to get him in here to do a whole day with us. And he's one of those busy guys. But since we're taking a trip together, I said, you got to come over an hour early. Let's get this going.
Right.
But, Rich, just to fill you in, you weren't in pre-production meeting. Mike's very hardcore opinionated.
Okay.
And Jono had to temper him a little bit because he started the show early. He was like, damn it, I'm going to blah, 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 blah. And Jono's, whoa, 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 you're going to offend all of our listeners out there. You can't say this. You can't say that. So he's already been censored.
Wow.
He's like Two Live Crew right now. He can't do anything.
Well, I tell you, that's why we call it the war room, right? The prep before we go on stage with
Thank
battle.
You. Thank you.
And actually, on my podcast this morning, the Kickin' Life podcast, that was a subject I touched on, was people that are easily offended by everything. you know, if you look deep inside yourself, maybe you've got something to be offended about.
Well, what would you relax? I just
hey,
boom!
To be that's that right hook
of
reality.
Saying we can't
I'm not talking about you, John. I'm just talking about people in general. You
Rich,
know,
people right. are offended.
Well, let's get to the Cowboys.
Hold on, real
here.
Quick. He all would right, not. Mike would not do good on the Kickin' Life Guru podcast. We call it every time something bad happens. We always call it, "Oh, you got Hartman'd." So he's on.
Oh,
Hartman.
He's, oh, wow.
He's unlucky, and he got Hartman'd. So,
is that like what was Kingpin? Help me out, brother. Help me out, Kingpin.
I promoted that movie too. That was Munson.
Munson.
Yeah,
got Munson'd.
Great movie. Great lines.
All right, are you three done?
Okay, do you want to start the show now?
Yeah, I like to start
okay.
the show now.
Okay,
is that as bad as Kabingian'd? I don't know.
All right. Forget all that now. Let's get
Cowboys.
On the serious side here, and let's start the show off by, we can't ignore it. It's got to be talked about a little bit, and that's with what went down with Lucky. All right. I don't, you know.
You don't want to spend all day on this, right?
I don't want to spend all day, all hour thing on it, but you know what? I just think that, you know, it's a double standard type of thing here, and you know, if you're a Cowboy fan, I know maybe you got Switzer back there. It's not an important thing to drop Lucky, but you know what? Let's be a little classy about it too. The guy was not there. The guy's not guilty. So I don't know why the hell we had to drop him, and to make a point that we don't do that here in Dallas. But if there's another player that's on the depth chart as being number one, well, maybe we ought to just think things over here and maybe work things out. And isn't this life about giving someone a second chance? That's the mentality of the Dallas Cowboys. You know, I love our boys, but you know what? This is not a fair process here, and this is not what I like to see, too.
I think, and I read something yesterday about it, and I didn't dive too much into it, but Jason Garrett had mentioned there's always stuff going on behind the scenes that not everybody's privy to. We don't see what's going on there, and I think a lot with a player that's not that high on the depth chart, if you're continuing to stir up stuff, crap, and draw negative attention your way, it's best to cut him loose. Apparently, he had somebody had kidnapped his dog the week before. Can anybody read about that? Kidnapped his dog, or supposedly kidnapped his dog, and was holding his dog ransom for $20,000. Come to find out, it was kind of a publicity stunt with a rapper. But anyway, all kinds of media attention came that way within the Dallas Cowboys organization. So Jason Garrett's thought was, look, enough is enough is enough. You know what? When you're a marginal player, you've got to make sure you shut down the negative publicity and pump up what you're doing on the field. And for Lucky, I think it was just unlucky that he chose to continue throwing stuff their way. So anyway, it is what it is. I know, didn't he get suspended last year from a game for showing up late or missing a practice or a return flight?
Yeah, and marginal player is the key, okay?
Right.
I mean, obviously, if this is Dak or
a high profile
Smith,
player,
Tyron,
yeah.
or Jason, or you know, you can go up and Zeke, obviously in the headlines now, and you got the attorney ad litem or whatever our term is, right, Mike? What's we got Jerry Jones who's looked at all the evidence, and Zeke is definitely clear from anything, but they. Yeah, that's simply it. I mean, I remember that they used to talk about Jimmy Johnson. Michael Irvin said he could do anything he wanted, and nothing would ever happen to him. He'd get talked to by Jimmy. But one of the C-rated players would step an inch out of line, and Jimmy would cut him, make an example out of him.
Who was the running back? Golden Richards fumbled the last game of the year. It was an inconsequential game, but he fumbled on a play that didn't matter. Well, Johnson said that's not the kind of focus we want going into the playoffs, and he cut him.
I think he cut him at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah, well,
it was like I need your helmet, need jersey, your helmet. Go clear out your locker, and I'll call you an Uber. I mean, it is, yeah, but that's what it is, Jono. And for some reason, and here's the deal, I didn't pay too much attention to the Lucky Whitehead story just because he was marginal. I think he was very below average from a punt returner
and kickoff returner.
Yes.
We knew he was going to get cut.
Yes.
When they brought Switzer in, and we knew that.
Right.
But let's be dignified about it, and let's cut him the proper way. And Mike, what was your call on this?
You know, I didn't see a whole lot of it, read a lot about it, so I can't give a great answer. But I'll be honest, if it had anything to do with his dog, I'd be pissed too.
Well, I just found the article. It's in Forbes magazine there, and it says, learn from a failure named Lucky Whitehead about how to keep your job. So, I mean, that's kind of a strong statement, but that's there it is, right? Wow.
Well, the bottom line is like this. What was he stealing, crab legs? Or was that the oh, that was Jameis Winston. Sorry. But he, you know, I mean, you got to – guys, you're the Dallas Cowboys. I'm surprised it was under wraps because, you know, it is the Dallas Cowboys for so long and that it, you know, it blindsided everybody. And I think him not notifying the team is ultimately – you know, when you get blindsided like that, you make everybody look a fool. So time to part ways. It's not that big a loss. I'm not upset at it. I didn't lose any sleep over it. I'm probably not going to lose any sleep over
it. Yeah, you shouldn't.
And I'm not going to go up to the National Sports Memorabilia Convention and look for an autographed Lucky Whitehead Jets jersey either.
They're all gone by now.
Are they all gone? Okay.
It's a big seller right now.
I get that. I'm just saying it's not the proper way to treat a person. That's all I'm saying. By tomorrow, we'll forget about Lucky, but this isn't the way we treat people. That's all I'm saying. You guys could have cut him on the field, say, you know what, we can't use you anymore, but don't cut him because some other black guy did something, robbed this or did that, and they blame it on Lucky, so we're going to cut him, and then it's okay to cut him on that regard.
Okay, but what you're doing from a management standpoint is, okay, I know we're going to cut them, but my message is probably worth a little bit more if I do it with this reason to keep everybody else maybe in line. You do it with your kids. You got to discipline.
Business-wise.
Business-wise.
Don't do it. Because
they're raising kids here. These are kids. These aren't grown men.
Are grown men.
No.
These are grown men. This is their business.
No.
Business.
This is, listen, at 26 in the 1880s, you were a grown man. At 26 and
12 in the 1880s.
At 26 years of age in 2017, you're still a kid.
Especially with millions in your pocket.
Exactly.
Doing what, though? What the hell did he do? It's a misidentification of another person, and the guy's getting the bad end of it.
I'd say there's a lot of that story that they're probably keeping behind the wraps, too, that public isn't hearing about.
Yeah, and like I said, a lot goes on behind the scenes that nobody knows about. And I'm just kind of looking through this article, and it just talks about the constant, well, I should say constant, but three or four times of negative drama coming his way. And that's, you know, you can't have that. You know, negativity is like a cancer in any organization. So I think that this thing was kind of the final straw that broke the camel's back. Could they handle it in a better way? Maybe, maybe so. But maybe they had a reason for doing it. Like Steve-O said, it's like, look, guys, get it going here. And they've had some negative attention coming their way from Zeke, so maybe they're trying to trim it a little bit and say, hey, we're not going to have this from marginal players. Anyway, he's gone. If anything else, maybe all this publicity did him something. You type in Lucky Whitehead, he pops up immediately. I don't know if that could have been the case a few months ago.
Yeah, I mean, he ran the jet sweep a half a dozen times, fairly decent for us. Okay, I get that.
It's not even that, Steve. I get what you're saying. I don't think we're going to be missing the guy at all. I'm just saying to you, we could have handled it a little differently. That's all I'm saying. One thing that I am very happy about is how our offensive line right now is handling the situation. Before the show even started, Mike was high on our offensive line, and that's a census with a lot of people around right now on how strong our offensive line looks. And Collins has really adapted well to this tackle position. He's taken, they've been working out, and he's been going over Taco Charlton, the new guy from Michigan, and he's been, treating him like a stepchild. And I'm glad Taco's getting a firsthand experience here of what an NFL All-Pro tackle is going to be doing.
Well, yeah, what standards are going to be held to? Yeah, because obviously that's one of the toughest positions.
And he's going. I really think that Collins is just going to be hurting people out there. I think that's how violent he hits. I really think that this is going to be a nice offensive line that's going to give Dak a lot of protection.
Sure. Well, and you're going to see in the preseason, they're going to go after him just for game film footage for throughout the year there, just to challenge him. You know, any rookie, especially in a position like that, they're going to set it up. They're going to come after him. They're going to see what he's got, see what he's got in the tank there.
And I Who's that, buddy?
What's that? Well, talking about what we're talking about. With who, Taco there.
With Taco, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I definitely think that Taco's gaining a lot of firsthand experience going up against people like that on the offensive line. Mike?
Oh, I love the offensive line. If these guys stay healthy, you're looking at a comparable offensive line to when Emmett was here. And
Mike, let me ask you this. Is this the offensive line that Dak needs to step into or step out of to get a better view? Or what type of offensive line does this present to the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys? What type of offense can he generate with this?
Oh, the running game should be just insane for years to come. Elliott's obviously a superior back. Hopefully he could manage any offense.
We'll get to that in a second. No, I'm talking about the quarterback, though.
I think what the answer you're looking for is I think it gives them all facets. Exactly. It allows them to build the pocket. It allows him to, you know, they're so athletic and their feet are so good that he's going to be allowed to either move the pocket with them as a designed play. Okay, they're going to be able to form a great passing pocket. Obviously, the run blocking is going to be there. And I think they're going to be able to create lanes for him to step up in and step into the throw, which is one of my things that I liked about Prescott so much last year as a rookie, is the way he really, I mean, he has a great arm and he steps into his throw, as opposed to like a Cam Newton, who you'll see a lot of times will sling it off of the back foot.
Side
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're going to allow him.
But if you notice, Cam does not have the protection a lot of times where he's forced to do a lot of that
stuff. Absolutely. You're exactly right, which reminds me of like what happened to Mark Bolger here with the Rams when the offensive line broke down. All of a sudden, you start hurrying things, slinging from the hip, off the back foot, the right. Interceptions, the injuries, everything piles up. And it's, Rich, it's the league, not for long when that happens. Ooh. You're a quarterback.
Drive
you're out.
Down.
If we're talking 4.5 seconds, that is a deadly NFC East Championship caliber type of team. If we can hold for 4.5 seconds or 4 seconds instead of a 3-second pocket, I think that's all we would need.
Oh, you set the table for whatever you want to do. Like Steve said, it's sky's the limit.
Right.
With that time barrier, right?
Exactly.
The 4-second pocket is unbelievable for a guy like that.
They are going to – their athleticism and strength and size are going to allow them to give Dak the 3-, 5-, and 7-step playbook. Okay? Yep. So he's going to be able to do the – imagine Switzer and Beasley – in a little slot where he's going 3-step and a quick in, you got your 5-stepper. Go all the way back and hit Terrence or Dez running down on a 9 pattern.
Let's
go.
Let me ask you this. You brought something up here. What if he becomes so comfortable in this pocket type to where it takes one aspect of the game out to where now he feels like he's like an Aikman where he doesn't want to run anymore?
Oh, I don't think. I think with this is going to set up so multidimensional now. I mean, everything feeds off of that offensive line, whether it be, you know, if you one-dimensional.
But if I'm comfortable
like the Cowboys,
back there, though,
oh,
Rich.
I don't think that's. I think you do some screens, some rollouts and stuff just to keep him in the game, you know, just drop back and throw the ball. Yeah, I could see your point there, but I don't think they're going to do that. I mean, it's a luxury to have this multidimensional offense where you can do anything with an athletic front line there, which they didn't have for years. I mean, think about it. They didn't have a running game for a while, so they're relying on passes, and Romo got eaten alive. Then they had developed a running game. I guess last 2 years Romo was here, they had something going. Now this year, the offensive line is there, the running's there, the receivers are there, you got your slot receivers there. I mean, it looks good.
Yeah, Romo was very elusive in the pocket.
He was creative.
But he very creative, very elusive, but he wasn't that extra dimension that Prescott brings in, which is that he could tuck it and run. Yep. And I love the fact that Prescott, because they have to respect his legs, can step up in the pocket and get to the line and still have a passing play down the field as maybe the linebackers crash down on him, or your defensive backs turn away from your receivers to protect against the running quarterback. So I love the fact that I think we have a ton of weapons out there on the offensive side.
When Steve, last year, how exciting was that to see a rookie who had that poise in the pocket where, you know, first sign of a trouble, he doesn't tuck it and run. He was very selective with his runs. He would much rather throw the ball down the field than use his legs. But when they did use his legs, I mean, that was almost a shock. And, of course, that adds that element of dimension there. And those safeties and cornerbacks, they're feeding off that. Those linebackers, where he's going to run, I need to spy on him. You know, I got to watch the slot backs coming out of the backfield. You got your Beasleys. I'll tell you what, it's looking good.
And one thing about that, Mike, is something about Dak. He doesn't run to the sidelines.
No, he's got some balls. He'll go straight up and take the hit. And, you know, one thing, second year, now he doesn't have anybody that he's looking over his shoulder. He's the guy. So that experience that he's got from that first year is going to be tremendously helpful moving forward into this year. The confidence level should be enabled.
But on that note, too, Mike, on that note, too, now do defenses – they know him.
Oh,
the,
sure.
The scheme of the offense is now, they know what he's all about. Does that, well, the sophomore jinx too.
No, but you listen to one of your coaches out there, any coach, okay, they're going to take the best part of your game and try to take it away. Belichick mm-hmm. will tell you when he goes into a defensive scheming, he says, well, I'm going to take away this part of the game. I'm going to take away that part and make them beat me this way. What are you going to take away from the Cowboys? You going to take away the running game? Okay.
Then they pass.
Then we'll pass. Are you going to take away my out receivers? I'll slot you to death, and I got Witten. Okay. I can run. I can sling it out of the backfield. I can run with Dak. My big question is going to be, because of our veterans, a lot of veterans have left. And make no mistake, Tony Romo may not have played last year, but he was definitely an impact on that team from a leadership standpoint.
Yes, sir, sure.
Okay? So who is it going to be
On what regard that? We knew we had a backup ready to come in. This is a very much an uncertainty where we don't have a dinghy hanging off that ship.
Well, we talked about that. I didn't like that. I didn't like the fact that Romo was retiring, but he needed to so we could move on, you know, from that standpoint. But you're right. Who's going to be the guy there that they turn to? I know Prescott's a leader.
Yep.
Is he the Aikman, the Romo, the Roger Staubach type leader? Is he that type, or is he going to be the quiet leader? What do the Dallas Cowboys need?
Well, being a sophomore, like you said, he's got a lot to learn. But the leadership he took and showed last year was awesome. Now, does he have the years of experience? No, that's only through experience that he's going to have to play in the league. But I think Jason Witten, they had a great connection. I think he's going to help him out a little bit. Cole Beasley has turned into a quiet leader. I think he's going to help him out a little bit. And just, you know, some veterans on the offensive line, the defensive backs, we're all going to work together in order to, hey, we're a team, we're a unit. And we've talked about this before. So he doesn't have the years of experience of leadership, but he does have the success from last year that he can build upon.
Now let's flash back to the early 90s, the big three, okay? I think we can all agree that Emmett might have been the best player out of those three.
I'm 100% with you.
I would disagree.
I would think he was the best player.
You're telling me if they didn't have Aikman,
No, I'm not saying that.
I would say but Aikman, too.
But I would say, in my opinion,
I would say Aikman.
Aikman was my guy.
See, I didn't see that. I saw
Emmett.
They
don't have Aikman. They don't.
Well, I
go
get it.
Anywhere.
That's okay. But the same thing. If they don't have Emmett, if they don't have Michael,
well, then you can't
but
you can, make that.
But what I'm saying
then.
Is, from a standpoint of who that guy that I'm looking at the most talent, and I'm going to compare it to this year, this team. I'm saying, okay, that might be Zeke. But I don't think the leader of the team necessarily was Emmett Smith. I think that Aikman controlled the huddle, controlled the organization of it, and that's what I'm saying. I would love to see that to continue. I don't want it to be Zeke is the best player, and he's the actual vocal leader out there, and maybe he's controlling the huddle. I want Dak to be the one that's in the huddle.
I see what you're saying.
That's the leader of the group, the offense, and saying, this is what we're doing, boys. So they have the confidence in Dak.
I think he established that last year. I mean, just his poise.
No, absolutely. I'm agreeing with you.
I'm saying with Emmett Smith, what you were saying there, I think Emmett was able to connect and maybe bridge the gap between Irvin and Aikman there. Aikman was a get-in-your-face. I mean, how many clips have we seen of him on the sideline, you know, cussing out the offensive line for doing a crappy job, this and that. But yet Irvin a lot of times was off. And there you'd see Emmett Smith kind of bridging that gap of bringing them together. So Aikman was the leader in the huddle, no doubt about it. But you've got those other leaders behind the scenes that say, you know what, give me the ball, give me the rock, I'm going to show you, I'm going to take this on my back. And that's where Emmett Smith, you know, did his thing.
All right, let's forget about those retro years here for a second. I don't know if my question's really being asked. I'm going back to Mike here. Don't jump in on this one, Steve-O.
What's that?
But Rich, what I'm saying
now,
love it.
If we have our quarterback that we knew we had a backup quarterback last year that's a starter. Now, he had the free reins to just run as much as he wants. Is he going to have that this year? Or is the coach going to say, you know what? What you did last year, we can't afford you doing that this year that much as you did last year, because last year we had someone to back you up. This year, who do we got this year to back you up? We got Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore is not my insurance here. He's not my Rodney selling me insurance here where everything is okay again.
You know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Then the other thing you look at is if you're playing the game, or every play is dictated by who's your backup quarterback, you're screwed. You just got to put it all out there on the field and let them play.
Well, that's the old Mike. You can't play with fear. You know, fear, if I screw up here, I'm going to be replaced. Lay it all out there.
No, it's not being replaced. It's about being in a body cast, and then I got to Kellen Moore.
My point is, don't do remember Marion Barber a few years ago, how much we loved him because he would take on any hit in any given time?
Exactly.
But it was short-lived. Or they're going to tell him, yes, Dak, we know you like to get in there and mix it up. But if it deems appropriate because we don't have a quality backup, get out of bounds. Go down. Don't take the unnecessary hit that you don't have to take. Play your game, but realize Romo's not back there to back you up anymore. So play smarter. And, I mean, Chris Portis play hard, but just a lot smarter than before.
The other thing, too, if you look around the NFL, if you've got a really good starting quarterback and you lose that guy, how many teams could afford to have that happen and actually go to the next level? Not many.
No.
That's the big thing.
Well, I think quarterback in the NFL, right?
Yeah. Hey, and Rich, you hit on it as far as knowing everything. What I would love is to make sure that Dak is in tune with the complete game, at you know, and understanding. Hey, if I'm in the first quarter, I'm going to get out of bounds, okay? I'm going to give up that yard or two that I could have gotten, or three. If I'm in the second quarter, I'm going to slide, whatever it might be. If it's late, you know, early in the fourth quarter, late in the first fourth quarter, and you got to get that extra 2 yards,
yep,
and it's a crucial game, absolutely. But if we're sitting there at 14-1, get down. We don't need the win. Okay, right. He has to know the football situation
yep,
as well, and understand that this is a smart man's game too. As much as it is these guys pounding each other in the head and getting CTE, we got to play smart.
Experience is going to dictate a lot of that.
There
he's
going to
keep growing into that game after game after game.
I want to ask you guys. Now we just signed another running back. We've got three running backs right now. Well, why the importance to get another one? Because of possibly, I know it's unofficial and they're not bringing it up or talking about it, but maybe they're tightening up for Elliott being suspended for a couple games. Who knows? Your call on this,
I assume you're talking about Ronnie Hillman.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, yes, I'm at the situation, I think, that we're looking at the just in case something happens. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I think you sign as many guys as you can and bring them in and take a look. This is what this time is meant for. You know, I mean, there's some guys developed, some guys that got nicked up and dinged up and were on the trash heap, that if you can put them back in and see what you got, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't cost that much. If you need to cut them, you cut them.
Why not? What's the life expectancy of a running back in the NFL anyway? 3.5 years? So if you got an opportunity.
But you know what? I don't know if we're using – if I'm expecting nothing to happen to Elliott. That's my belief. I think that, I think with the high cost of these lawyers. I think we're going to find this guy innocent. Now we got four guys back there. Hillman, he's got, what, 800 yards rushing, seven touchdowns. I just think that he's a kind of like an Alfred Morris type of running back.
I think it builds competition. You know what I mean? If you know, if you're that number on third on the depth chart and you're wanting that second spot, or you're fourth. Well, if you're fourth and you're wanting that third spot, you're going to push and drive everybody to be a little bit better. And you never know. I mean, fluky duke injuries happen. They take a beating, especially the way, I mean, Elliott's a hard runner.
They might find another Kurt Warner out there. Ooh. Obviously not the same position. Yeah.
I wish we found another Kurt Warner.
See that? He made a Rams reference.
I wasn't going to say it.
Yeah. Hey, I tell you what, guys. We've got Colleen. Colleen's going to be calling in. We're going to get Colleen. Well, actually, we're going to call Colleen.
Hey, tell everybody up. How they can find us again. And you know, the Google Play and the Stitcher and the iTunes.
Well, there you go. You mentioned three of them right there. Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes. And we love the big ratings that we're getting from iTunes. People are leaving bigger ratings for us, big positive ratings. We love that. And when season comes along, we'd love to get feedback from you guys out there. And please go to our site on Facebook, Cowboys Podcast. You know what? Hit a big like, and if you got something, put it on there. I mean, Doc's been leaving some great posts on there, and people respond to that.
So. I mean, I think we're close to 15,000 likes, followers on that page. I think the next step is, and then we're little under a year started on this, so the Cowboys Podcast.
That's
so
tremendous growth.
Maybe by this time we'll be at next year 30,000. What do you think?
Is that our goal? By the end of this year, end of this football season.
100,000.
Like that, Mike, because why not? Yeah, I mean, we had the football season going on, we had like, 25,000 people chiming in when we had the Facebook Live.
It was crazy.
Well, we're in the off season now, and we still got people following and sharing, and that's the key. You like what you hear, you share with somebody else, because Cowboy Nation's running strong here, but it's all about that growth. And there's a ton of shows out there, but this is the Cowboys Podcast.
Oh, it's an exciting time to be a fan. They're so close to going to the big show.
Really.
Okay, Mike. So Mike is the guy. He's been to three Olympics.
Two
Olympics.
Vancouver,
he's been to
Salt Lake.
Okay, he's been to 25 Kentucky Derbies.
Oh,
he's
nice.
Been to a couple Super Bowls with the Rams.
Yes.
He does all these big events. So the million-dollar question, Cowboys go to the Super Bowl. Are you going? It's up in Minneapolis this year.
I would love to go. The budget will probably be there, but what's the ticket now? $3,000, $5,000, somewhere in that range?
Maybe. Yeah, it just depends on who you know. So, hey, story.
Make it quick because we got to call Colleen.
I know. Little quick story. This is the reason why he's my main man is back in 2004, Mike had gotten married and put a little wager on the Cardinals going to the World Series. And did fairly well on it and sponsored a trip up to Boston for us. So it was a good time.
The World Series in Boston. We lost, but we were on the monster for one of the games. Incredible experience.
All right. That's great. let's give Colleen a call here.
Gotta love Jono.
I think we got Colleen on right now. Colleen, you out there?
I'm here. How are you guys?
We are doing great. You just saved the day because Steve-O was about to talk about Mike's past all the Guinness records that he broke and all that stuff that he did back in the way yesterday's. How you doing out there, Colleen?
I'm doing good.
What's the latest news on our Cowboys?
Well, of course, you know, everybody's still mulling over Lucky Whitehead being gone, but
what's
that's
your take
done and
on
over
that?
With.
What's your quick take on that? We'll make it real quick on that, too.
I did a big old long thing. The Cowboys have taken the high road or maybe the avoidance road by not really saying a whole lot. Because they've just been, everybody's been after them saying that they did Lucky wrong. But they have to take a look at the whole picture. There's several things. Put the whole misidentity thing out of the picture. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
When we signed Ryan Switzer, they were thinking it was going to take him a year to get acclimated and be ready to roll.
Right.
Well, what they found is
he's ready
they've
to go
got
now.
A player who's ready to go, and he's showing it and proving it.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky has been known time and time again not to be a reliable receiver when waiting for a punt.
Right.
Or
right.
kickoff.
Yeah, he's he's not reliable.
He's dropped if it's a high ball, he's going to drop it.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody is holding their breath praying that he doesn't drop it.
That's like Steve-O when he's playing softball out in left field somewhere.
God. Well, Colleen, I think you're right there. Anytime it was a pressure situation that put Cole Beasley back there just for the sure-handedness. Now, obviously, Beasley doesn't have the speed
exactly.
that Lucky Whitehead did, but he was reliable. And I guess we had talked
right.
about this before we got you on the line here about some of the other things going on. Did you hear about the supposed kidnapping of his dog and all the attention that brought to the Cowboys? And Garrett
right.
finally said enough is enough. And we talked about him being a marginal player and. You know, that's kind of what the undoing
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I mean, most of it is the fact that he's an average player, and he's not, wasn't showing improvement.
Right.
And if you're stalling and you're not going forward,
right,
you're going out.
You know, one important
just
question.
Just like we got Dwayne Harris went. Boom. Mm-hmm.
One important question unanswered here is, did he get his dog back?
Yeah,
yes,
that's Mike.
Dog back.
Yeah, I love Mike. Here.
God bless.
Yeah.
So, what's the positive side now, Colleen? What's been going on around the Cowboy camp that you're really, your eyes are lighting up and saying, "I like this."
Well, my good buddy Anthony Brown is just shining big time. I'm so proud of him. I mean, back from last year, I picked him, and he is just coming on good, hard, and strong. He intercepted one of Dak's throws to Dez.
Now, Colleen, is he a cornerback or is he a safety? What are we going to use him as?
I think they're going to use him all over. What they're doing is they're taking this defense, and they're making this defense so they can play any position, so that they can move a kid from safety to cornerback, so they can move a guy. They're making them very versatile. If you're not versatile, they don't want you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see all of these players moving around.
A Swiss Army knife.
Colleen, do you right. kind of see that's what's going on with the NFL nowadays? I mean, yeah, you've got certain positions. Obviously, you're not going to have a defensive tackle stepping back and playing cornerback, but your secondary,
right.
as opposed to your prototypical, you're a defensive corner, like Deion Sanders, he was a corner, but he sure as heck wasn't a safety. You know, he could run with anybody, but he's not going to stick his nose in there and tackle somebody the way a safety would. Are you saying kind of the NFL's moving, or at least the Cowboys, to that kind of fully dimensional thing where you can, you know, be a corner, but you can also be a safety?
The Cowboys are doing that, and they're making it so that their front line, that defensive line up there, so that they can go from right to left, to from the inside to the outside.
Well, I tell you what,
so
I'm really
down, they can move them.
I'm really not liking that Carroll play. I'm at one-on-one basis. This guy reminds me a lot of Carr. So I like what you're saying with your guy Anthony. I would like to see some sort of a bandage, some sort of a backup plan for this, because I don't think this Carroll thing is going to work out too well in my mind. I think I don't see it. That's my projection.
He actually has been a standout. Nolan Carroll has been a standout.
Well, he's been getting burnt, too, at one-on-one.
Well, that's kind of learning the NFL there.
Cases,
the
speed
well, no, he's been around.
Yeah.
Well, still, the NFL, Colleen alluded to it earlier, you either evolve or dissolve. You know, there's no just kind of hanging in there. You either continue to get better or the league's going to pass you by.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Right. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm saying he's got a lot of Mr. Carr in him that I'm seeing. That yesterday he got burnt for like what's his name? Terrence. He beat him like 2-3 times on 6 feet and away. Like,
wow.
And that didn't happen like one time. That kept happening. And I know it's if he's not one out. I know that maybe he's going to get help in a live game and all that, but
if you go to man-to-man coverage there, you've got to be able to make the plays there.
And he's not able to do that, I don't think.
But so Colleen, staying on the defensive side of the ball there, I know last year they repositioned Sean Lee, so, I mean, he was still active, but he wasn't getting hit by the fullback out of the backfield or the tight end coming across.
Right.
He had more range to move around and use his abilities as a leader on the field. Is that kind of your thought and projection? They're going to do something not only similar to that, but with the secondary as well, kind of rotate that around to free up those players that I guess the whole sign of kind of a free safety is free to wander and do what you want to do, kind of structure the defense like that for Sean Lee again?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think we'll see the same for Sean Lee. I don't think that'll change.
Good.
Now, another player that has been a real big standout is an undrafted young man, and his name is Lucas Watcha.
Watcha, yeah. Yeah, I've seen this kid.
What you got?
Yeah, tell us about him.
I mean, he's explosive. Now, I know we don't really need more people on the offensive side, but I think I see this kid. I see them using this kid maybe on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
What's he slated as now? A weak side linebacker?
He is a linebacker.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, but I think Mike, he's going to be more of a special team guy, like Colleen said. If we do sign him at all, I mean, it's still.
Who knows? Maybe another Billy Bates.
I really think that they're going to sign this kid. He's my pick for this.
Wow.
This year's
training
camp. That's
our big play.
Colleen's pick.
Big play here, and that's going to be an unsigned. What? Where's he from?
He is from. I'm not sure.
Okay. We'll find
play?
Out.
Well, I'll tell you, that depth chart can never be deep enough, if you ask me. The NFL.
So true. Yeah.
What's it stand for, Steve-O? Not for long?
Not for long there, Rich. That's what it says in the program.
That's what it said in the yearbook.
Eastern Wyoming.
Eastern Wyoming. I didn't even know Wyoming had so many schools.
No. Yeah. He's from Wyoming.
Oh, he's from Wyoming. I thought they had an Eastern Wyoming University, too.
Okay. No, he's from Wyoming.
East, west, north, south.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, you know what? Let's move on here. What do you think about what's going on? Has Jalen, has he been coming along? Has he been progressing? Has the knee, we're hearing that it's kind of been hindering off and on. Any signs of that?
He looks good. Of course, last season at training camp, he looked good running around, but you could definitely see a limp. And now it's not quite so obvious, and he's got that brace for his foot so that he doesn't, he doesn't have so much issues with the drop foot. But we haven't really seen him. They did pads for the first time. Of course, they're being really protective over him. So
sure. Yeah.
I think we'll see him pop in this season, but I don't think we'll see him play
full-time,
a whole lot.
Oh, wow. Wow. I'd really like to see him go in there full time. What's your call on, we just talked about it with signing of Ronnie Hillman. I know he's got 800 yards to the table and 7 touchdowns and all this, but did we need another fourth running back, or are they assuming that maybe we're going to lose Zeke for a couple games?
Well, there's a couple of things, the reason they signed him. We had Jahad Thomas as a running back that we picked up in the draft. He got hurt, so that left us with three. So they put Hillman in there. And that's there's a couple of reasons for that. First of all, if Zeke gets suspended, then we would have to play D-Mac more in the beginning of the season. Now, we have 5 preseason games.
Yeah.
And if we only have...
No, that's a good point.
If you use D-Mac a lot and you use Morris a lot in the preseason...
No.
How's that going to affect him when the season starts?
That's a great
call. They don't like to play their... They don't like to play their starters.
No, and I was... Yeah. I was bringing the same thing up with our quarterback situation because our third stringer now... he pulled a herniated disc, and he's needing an operation. He's going to be out 18 months.
Right.
I think with him now, we're just going to give him some sort of a pay, and he's going to be gone off the team. But we're definitely going to need a third-string quarterback just to get in there and go with this 5-game preseason type of schedule because we cannot play Kellen Moore and Prescott. Those five games. That could kill.
And they're looking at a guy. I thought I read somewhere the other day that they had picked up somebody off of waivers, or somebody that another team cut, who really hasn't played anything but preseason, but. I don't see on the transactions where that happened. He's not listed on the transactions.
Well, we'll have to snoop around on that.
Now, boys, is there any possible, and I'm going to throw a Hail Mary here, is there any possible way that you go after like a Kaepernick?
Absolutely not.
And no. you hold him, showcase him. Listen, here's the deal. You showcase him, and maybe you're able to get something.
This is America's team. He's the most un-American guy in the NFL. No.
Dynamite drop
used
in there,
be
Mike.
Used to be in the NFL.
No.
Woo.
Nope.
Boom.
It won't happen. They won't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah. You got a false start there, Steve-O, before you even got the play started.
Okay,
there,
all right,
baby.
Yeah, let's drop that one.
Oh, my gosh. Jono's offended.
Just drop it. Okay, so what about is RG3 still out there? I think he can be a number three.
You got Kylie laughing.
let me tell you what RG3 isn't going to do.
Here's the backup Hail Mary plan. Go ahead, Steve-O.
He's not going to get injured like Zach did. Picking up his luggage. I think Zach thought he was here to stay and packed a lot in his luggage. RG3 had come with like one of those little, tie bags, you know, that they give you, give away to the kids at wrestling camp that they just hold like shoes and headgear in.
Sling bag.
He's not gonna herniate a disc.
Funny.
Oh my God.
You're funny.
Okay.
Jono, why are you not? This is what makes this show so good.
Right.
This is why these people.
We're
listen,
getting clicks, likes, and
gonna,
shares right now.
Colleen, you're obviously the brains behind the operation here. Mm-hmm. Jono is trying to be like an analyst like Troy Aikman here.
I'm trying to keep everyone happy.
You can't do that.
You got to be happy.
You can't keep everybody happy. This is Dallas Cowboys.
Happy.
We are the shit. We're the top of the mountain. We're going to climb it.
No, don't.
Win another one. Raise that Lombardi.
Okay.
Stick your chest out even though you're 26 pounds light.
Right. Okay. All right, let's move on.
I have looked at every Cowboys transaction list that's reliable, and they don't have a QB signed on there. So maybe they're just working some out.
Yeah,
it's Kaepernick.
Trying to find one.
Kaepernick's coming
in.
Kaepernot.
How bad is Switzer's hamstring right now? How's his hammy feeling?
A little tight.
He says he's fine.
And he says he's fine. I mean, I don't know why the hell. If he can run, it's got to be okay.
Well, Amskins are a finicky thing.
Yeah, but if you can run, you're okay. I mean, you could tell if someone's nursing a hamstring. They can't hide it.
Well, there's a difference between running up and down the field and then cutting, pulling, twisting, turning, and trying to keep up with the receiver.
I mean, the cutting is the least of the hamstring worries.
That's the push-off.
When you run straight ahead, you're talking to a guy that's pulled this damn thing three times. It looks like a rubber band.
Listen, fat doesn't pull.
the thing about a hamstring injury is once you injure your hamstring, it will plague you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Moving forward.
That's for sure.
You are susceptible to having problems with it over and over and over again.
Well, and the biggest reason for that, coming from, I'll throw my old thing out there, kinesiology background, is the hamstring is one of those muscles that's not fun at all to work. The quadriceps, you can do leg press, squats, and everything else, and you've got four ginormous muscles in the front, and they counterbalance the hamstrings, so the weakest link's always going to give. Yeah, there you go. Fall asleep, guys. I'm teaching you an anatomy lesson here. Biomechanics coming at you. But the hamstring, it's not a fun muscle to work. It's not a fun one to stretch, and the weakest link's going to tear every time, and that's just the way it is. I mean, you see guys with huge quadriceps, you don't see too many guys with huge hamstrings, right? There you go. There's your lesson. Write that down. Share that.
So, Colleen, how far are we away from
Steve's flexing
our Hall
his hamstring?
Game
I was wrong. All my years of research, I was wrong. If you could just see what we just saw, viewers.
What are we now? What are we? A couple weeks away from the Cowboy game?
Getting close. It's exciting. It seems like a few weeks.
We are like 7 days.
7 days. 7 days. Wow.
Not even 7 days. Today's Friday.
Today's Friday. Yes. Today's Friday. And the week's been
so 5 days.
5 days.
5 days. Not even 2 weeks anymore. Great.
This is an exciting time of year, Jono. I'm surprised you're not excited.
No, I'm excited.
Because you got football starting up.
Yeah.
We're up against the trade deadline with baseball. I know you're very excited about that.
Right.
So, you know, we're starting to get, you know, all these things happening again. We spent a month basically in the desert with nothing going on with just baseball out there. Now we got a lot of things, man. I need your energy, bud.
Right. You'll get it.
Well, Steve, I think it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon our time. John went to a big Guns N' Roses concert last night, rocked it out all night, so I think that the afternoon shutdown's coming.
After losing 26 pounds, was there a post-concert meal?
No. I'm just going home. That's it. I don't do any midnight eating anymore. That's it. I'm not doing it anymore.
Listen, this has become the no fun show right now with you. Okay? We need Jono back.
The NFS.
You're politically correct. Okay.
Right.
You don't want to offend anybody.
Right.
You're non-opinionated. You're skinny.
I'm not opinionated.
You're talking about pulling muscles. I need, you know, you're going to bed early. You're eating your vitamins and saying your prayers. What the hell is going on over here, bud?
It's a change of lifestyle. Change of lifestyle. That's all. Change of lifestyle.
He's getting ready for a trip to Dallas. He wants to look good in a spotlight.
I want to look good. I got fans out there. I want to look good. That's all. You made all these sausage remarks with the finger, and now I'm trying to prove people I don't have sausage fingers. Now I look at my fingers, and I think, what the hell? Maybe I do have sausage fingers.
That is a size 18 ring that you're wearing.
I don't know. You want to try it on?
I'll put it on my wrist.
Put it on.
I mean, it's on my thumb. Jono, it's on my thumb, right, and I got plenty of room.
All right, whatever.
We need to go Facebook Live with these.
Colleen, so what's going on this weekend? Any you're in the Dallas area, right?
I am.
Are we checking out the Cowboys at all? Anything going on with the Cowboys?
No, nothing happening here.
Right. I just meant, is there anything that the radio stations, anything they're doing to promote the Cowboys around the city right now?
No.
Nothing. All right. Well, there goes that.
Nothing.
I mean, we thought maybe we could
uneventful
make a trip down there for
I'm gonna go watch a bull riding bash.
All right.
You know, we ought to do that sometime.
Darn right.
You know, I think I could stay on the bull a lot longer than you, pal.
Okay, are we talking mechanical or real?
Well, that mechanical stuff's not real. I mean, they could you could pay the guy and he could flip that switch a little faster on me than you.
No, I get
I'm talking a real
bull.
A real bull.
Okay.
Sounds like a wager coming.
Would you ever? You used to bull ride?
I used to.
You're kidding,
darling. I used to raise them.
I used to bull ass.
And
bull shoot.
I had an arena.
Okay,
in my backyard.
Really?
Where we had regular buck outs.
Really, that's kind of cool.
So yeah.
Oh.
All right.
Nice.
So athletically, you've seen me in person. Do you think I could ride a bull, Colleen?
Sure.
See?
Anybody can ride a bull.
Yeah, yep. Anyone can
whether
ride a bull.
Whether they stay on
whether they
it
stay
is
on, that's
story,
the thing. Yeah,
no kidding.
Hey, you know what? The bull might ride Jono is what I'm thinking.
All right. Okay. I think that's about our show for today. Say, folks, check out our show again on Google Play, on iTunes. Leave a review, maybe not after this show, but definitely leave a review. And, Colleen, you got your site. You want to promote your site?
She loves the Cowboys.
She
loves
the Cowboys.
If you're a woman out there and you're interested in talking about football, come join us on Facebook.
And you got to be a woman now. You can't be a male sneaking on there. They're all females. And beautiful Cowboy women that are they love their Cowboy.
Yeah.
So. That's great.
Nothing more beautiful than a Cowboy fan, female Cowboy fan.
Yep.
You guys.
And hey, folks, again, we're setting up. Less than 5 days, Colleen said. It's going to be great.
I'm excited, Let's get this season, and I want to be done with preseason, really. I want the real season right now.
Bypass that in a hurry.
They just need to make sure
injury
they don't
free.
Get banged up. Exactly.
Yep. All right. All right, Mike, thanks for filling in for Rodney. Colleen, thanks for being on. And, hey, folks, tune in next week. We'll have another great show and talk a little bit about football, a game that was
we'll get
played.
To talk about a game, absolutely.
Yes. That was played. And check us out, Cowboys.com, CowboyPodcast.com, my friends. We'll see you next time. Take care.
Go, boys.
Go, boys.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.